Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray right now that as we come to your word, Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, for the value, for the depth of wisdom and understanding, of love, of healing, of power. Father, I just pray right now that as we seek out what it is that your word is saying to us, Lord, prepare our hearts and minds right now to receive what you are speaking to us through your word. Father, as we have we've just finished a series and we've got another series starting next week, we've got a single message here. And so, Father, we just ask as we come to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, Father, that you would speak to us. Lord, just pray for a blessing on all of us. Lord, we pray for a covering that nothing would penetrate what you would have us hear. And Father, that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word. And we would live out what you are speaking to us right now, Lord, that we would be different because of what you're teaching us through your word today. Lord, get me out of the way. Use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be merciful. Be merciful. We live in a world that doesn't know a lot about mercy right now, right? Mercy, can somebody define for me what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Mercy, not grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And one of the things that I would do at a number of different, I probably did it 10, 15 times with my kids growing up, was when they did something, when they were in rebellion and did something wrong and knew what they were doing and chose to disobey. We always had consequences. You know, there was always the consequences that they had to deal with. But about 10 or 15 times for all the kids combined, I would have times where I would stop and I would say, okay, this is what happened, and here's the consequence of what we always do. But you know what? I want to talk today about the mercy of God. And so this is one time where I want to show you what you deserve is this punishment. And instead, I want to have this be an example to you of God's mercy. And so there's a covering right now. And right now, you're not going to get what you deserve. Because I wanted that message to come across of really for them to experience mercy in action. And as we come to the word, I just kind of want to have that picture of not getting what we do deserve as we come to the word of God. It's Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead. You were what?
Dead.
You were dead. That's a pretty big statement. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. What were we? We were deserving wrath. We were people who were living sinful lives, deserving wrath, and on the road to experiencing the consequences of being not under God's umbrella of forgiveness. Because we had imputed sin. We had sin by nature. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, children are so sweet, so wonderful. They don't. How could a child do something wrong? That those people usually don't have children. But we know at an early age, children can do what they can be so strong-willed. And I got to brag a little bit. You know, I was watching football yesterday, if you guys were watching, Arizona State was on TV. And they beat Oregon. It was fantastic. They were supposed to. I listened to one of the guys before the game, and he said, "Oh yeah, they don't even have a chance." Because somebody asked him, "What do they need to do to have a chance to beat Oregon?" And he said, "Nothing. There's no way they can beat Oregon." And I was like, "Oh yes, they can." After the game was over, right. But Thomas, my son who plays football, he has this. It's always amazing to me because he had this sense of right and wrong. Right, he came to the Lord at 3. And I tried to almost talk him out of it because I was like, 3 years old, can he really know? And I was like, Thomas, you know, what does it mean to you to be saved? And he says, Daddy, my heart's not right and I need Jesus to make my heart right. I was like, okay. And he had been a wild man up to 3 years old, up to getting just crazy. I was always thinking, this kid is going to be the biggest handful I've ever had in my life. And I was just wondering, how do we contain this? He never walked down a hallway. He would bounce and roll off the walls and ceiling. I mean, everything he did was just, but it was always this kind of out of control and strong-willed. And when he came to Jesus at 3, he became, at 3, focused, self-disciplined. It was like he just morphed, and he did. He was transformed by the Holy Spirit. One of the things that always amazed me about Thomas was he would turn himself in. He would do something wrong, and then say, he'd come up to me like this and say, Dad, this is what I did, and this is what I deserve. And he would, I wouldn't know anything sometimes, and he would tell me not only what he had done wrong, but what the punishment was. And I'll never forget the first time that I tried to show him mercy. He was like, No, Dad, you don't understand. I did this wrong, and so this is the punishment I need. And I was like, I understand that. But God shows us mercy, and I want to show you an example of mercy. He goes, Dad, can we show me that later? Because, there's something inside of us. We don't quite know sometimes how to respond to mercy, and the world around us definitely doesn't know how to respond to mercy. Because why? Because it's this race that everybody's in, and everybody's so used to kind of pushing others down to build themselves up. And when you see the love of God and live through people and the example of mercy given, it's shocking. It shocks the senses. And here we have, I love where it starts. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. All of us start in the same place. Guys, the reason we all start in the same place is because we're all sinners. We all are deserving of the wrath of God. There's not one of us that, oh man, he's okay. Because that requires perfection, because God doesn't grade on a curve. It's not, I made the cut, I'm in the top 20%. There's perfect and not perfect. Anybody here perfect in and of themselves? Nobody. Not one of us. Scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not even one is right in their own standing before God. For you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Guess what? Before faith, we not only followed the culture that we live in, we followed the one who was leading this world, which is the enemy of God, Satan and the demonic forces. Guys, it's easy for a lot of people to believe in God, but it's hard even for a lot of Christians to think of the enemy of God, to think of, but Scripture is clear. There is an enemy, and he is powerful, and he's got his hands in this world. He's manipulating. He's deceiving. He's the father of lies. And I tell you, if you're going to be the father of something, you don't want to be the father of lies. But he is actively working the kingdom of this air, the spirit who is now at work within those who are disobedient. And I don't want to be living the same as those who are separated from God right now. I don't want to live as a believer. I don't want to live like I did before I got saved. There's got to be something different. And it is. It's God himself, the Holy Spirit in me, in you. And so we have Christ in us. And it says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. We tend to kind of follow our brains, don't we? The body follows the mind. When we put junk in, we start living out junk in our lives. And so what we fill our brains with, what we're taking in, we've got to be so careful. We've got to be so careful. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. There's a beautiful four-letter word there. We were. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've received him, if you said, I believe in Jesus Christ, and he's your God, guess what? You were deserving of wrath. You are not anymore because of what he's done. He's shown you mercy. He's shown us mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve, because even after we come to faith, guess what happens? We still sin, don't we? We're not sinners who are fallen and separated from God. We are saints who sin. That sounds kind of like a messy saint, doesn't it? But guess what? That's what we are. We're saints who sin. Because how we live and what we experience is different than what God sees, as he sees what he's done through salvation in our lives. Because even though we're still struggling with sin, we're still struggling with turning our back on God at times in sin, we never stop being his child in that relationship. What were we? We were by nature deserving God's wrath. The gospel describes here, in the gospels, we have a few pictures of what it means to be resurrected. In Luke 8, we see a 12-year-old girl gets resurrected. In Luke 7, we see a young man gets resurrected. And in John 11, we see an older man gets resurrected. All of them after different periods of time, and each of them was dead. The only difference was how long they were dead, right? Lazarus, how long was Lazarus dead? He was buried and dead 4 days. 4 days. You know what happens by day four? Things start to get a little stinky. I mean, really, a dead body starts to... Oh, It does start to decompose. And I think it's interesting because we see this example of these different people who were dead and experienced death. And we tend to judge people on things with... well, one of the things I want to say about this first is the difference in the length of death is how stinky they are. And we tend to judge people by how we view them as putrid in their life because of the sin that they lead. We see the Christian who sins, or let's not even go there first. We see the person who's in the church as, you know, they're not so bad. They're not quite so bad. But the homeless guy out on the street, we have this judgmental spirit to where we tend to judge people by outward exteriors. But God looks at the heart, doesn't he? God sees us through our hearts, and he doesn't judge us by the way that people judge one another. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Guess what? That's all of us before Christ. And so one of the things that stops me at times from being merciful is I have too big a view of myself at times. I think too much sometimes of myself. And rather than humbly seeing other people as better than myself, I see myself at times as better than them. I want you to be honest with yourselves. Take traffic. Do you see yourself as better than the other people in the other cars? Right? Right? The real issues of life, we tend to think, you know, there's times where I'm driving, and it's especially when I'm late. And when I'm late to me, then everybody else around me is a terrible driver. It's not the fact that I was not prepared and getting up early enough and not being on time. It's that they're bad drivers, and their bad driving stands out so much when I'm late. At times, I don't even have to be, it doesn't even have to be bad driving. At times, if I'm late somewhere, I'm just like, why are all these people on the road right now? And I start going back in time and remembering a time where 10, 20 years ago, you could go in the middle of the day from here north on I-5 and there wasn't traffic. That was a logjam. And now you go in the middle of the day and there's traffic everywhere. And when I'm feeling unmerciful, when I'm feeling full of myself, everybody around me is an idiot. There's times where we're just so bloated with ourselves. Guys, it's so impossible to be merciful. Now let's take that same truth into our families. Parents, man, we need to be parents of mercy. We need to see our children not as obstacles to us getting done what we want to get done. And at times when I'm frustrated with disobedience, man, it's hard to have the heart of Christ, isn't it, as a parent? There's a lot of room for us to grow here. Jesus, do you remember when Jesus called the Pharisees? It was a number of different places, but one of them is in John 8:44, but where Jesus calls the Pharisees children of the devil. The Pharisees were the religious leaders. They were the pastors of the day. They were the ones who were supposed to be showing the people the way to God. But they, rather than focusing on God, they were focusing on the rules, on the do's and don'ts. We sometimes get lost in that in church, don't we? Church is not about the do's and don'ts. It's about Jesus Christ. We don't want to raise our children in the church. We want to raise our children in the truth of Jesus Christ in the church. And so it's a very big difference. It's not about what we don't do. It's about knowing Jesus personally and intimately and being transformed through that relationship. Guys, we need to be so careful with this religion. And one of the things that gets in the way of showing mercy is us having the wrong view of ourselves. And one of the greatest ways that we can have the wrong view of ourselves is by us having the wrong view of God. And here it says, all of us lived among them at one time, and we were all gratifying the desires of this base nature of ours. But I love what it goes on to say in verse 4. But, that's a good but right there. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. But because of his great love for us. Not Matthew, not you, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So we hit mercy, not getting what we deserve. It's by grace you've been saved. Now we have the opportunity to receive, to get what we don't deserve. That's grace. The reason we can be merciful is because we've received such grace and mercy. And God, verse 6, raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, who do you see as being the one who's in charge of all of this? Is it us because we're learning the ropes? Is it us because we're being good enough? So salvation belongs to who? God. So God reaches out. Do I need to respond? Yes. But faith is not of me on my own. God reaches out. How will you respond? How will you respond? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. Think about that, guys. The incomparable riches. What does that mean about, what do we know about riches? They're worth a lot, right? It's a really good thing. Is it, would you rather be poor or rich? Poor, rich?
Rich in God.
Rich in God?
Rich in spirit.
Now, let me ask you this. If you had a chance to have $500 more this month to pay the bills, would that be a good thing?
Yeah.
How about in riches that last for eternity? What about riches that can't be taken away? What about riches that the government doesn't say, I want half of that? Man, the kind that it's given to us and it doesn't get taken back. It's ours. We receive it. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in what? In Christ Jesus. As the greatest gift that we can receive of all time is Christ Jesus himself. Because he's the one that transforms our lives. For those of you who are believers, think of what life was like before you knew Christ. How when the challenges would come, you would be undone. There was nowhere to go with the pain. When you were treated unjustly, that defined who you were. And now you were somebody who was mistreated and you were going to get even at all costs. And when you came to faith, I remember coming to faith and all those people that I had written in that book, I'm going to get back, or had in my mind, one day I'm going to make them pay. It was a place for all that anger to go. And no longer was I that man controlled by this bitterness and rage and anger, but I was a young man who was free in Christ. I wasn't defined by what people did to me anymore. Now I was free from that sin of being defined by those others who had hurt me. I had a new identity. What God did, it's incredible. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved. Through what? Through faith. Is it faith, by grace you have been saved, by doing the right things enough? See, in Genesis 15, 6, it says, Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. From the very beginning, that's before circumcision. That's before the law. It's always, even with Abraham, it's been about what? Faith. So when we come by faith, we get to experience the mercy, the love, the grace of God. And that is good news. And then it got, I love what it, how it goes on in verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Why? Not by works, so that no one can boast. Just to make it clear to us. Because if it had any bit of works in it, guess what we would be doing? You know what I did? Let me walk you down memory lane of how wonderful I am. Because you may have forgotten it by last Sunday. As your pastor, I have all these wonderful traits of why I'm your pastor, of why you should follow me. I mean God. Right? We start getting in the way, don't we? We start puffing up ourselves and getting full of this rather than God. This that can be so just knocked off course so easily. But so that no one can boast, that no one can boast. He's saying it's not by works. So there's all kinds of room for humility for all of us here. This is about what he did because of his great love for us. He is rich in mercy. Why does God expect you to show mercy to others? Because he showed you mercy. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you've been saved, guys. It's not about us. It's about him. And because God has shown you mercy, shown me mercy, we can now show others mercy. Not giving somebody what they deserve. That means at work, when somebody's rude to you, you don't have to slam them back. When somebody takes credit for what you did, your goal in life doesn't have to be having them pay. You don't have to be in that cell, in that prison, of I'm going to make them pay. They've wounded me. And now that wound defines you. We can be free in Christ. We don't have to be in the cells of unforgiveness and bitterness and rage and malice and envy. We don't have to be controlled by our sin. And easily offended. Thank you. Hey guys, I had to tell you. On that note, easily offended, when I'm not doing well in my walk with the Lord, I am easily offended. When I am struggling in my sin and wallowing in it, and it is so easy for me to get offended like that. But when I am experiencing the love of God in right relationship and moving forward, man, now something happens, and what are they going through? What is it that they're doing that caused them to come at me like that? All of a sudden, I have empathy. All of a sudden, it's not revenge. It's what's going on with them. I start praying for them. I start wanting what's best for them. Now, when I seek them, I've got a heart of prayer, and I'm showing mercy, not in a fake way, but in a real way. In a way that honors and respects them. Why should we be merciful? Because God has shown us mercy. Also because God commands us to be merciful. I think of that, I don't have it on the overhead here, but in Micah 6:8 it says, the Lord has told you what is good. That is what the Lord requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to live humbly with your God. To what mercy? To not only be merciful, but to love doing it. To not only love mercy for yourself, but to love mercy for others through you as God gives you the ability to show mercy and love to others through you. What does it mean to love mercy? We've already talked about it. To not give to the person what man says, what mankind says, you know what, they deserve an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. You know, they come at you, You get even. Or as some of us were taught growing up, you don't get even, you get ahead. You get ahead. They take your arm, you take their life. You don't get even. That's the mindset of the world. Why should we be merciful? Because God has shown mercy, because God commands us to be merciful, and because showing mercy leads to what? Happiness and joy. When you live in vengeance, there is no joy and no peace. You are on the hunt. And the last thing you experience is peace and joy. The fruit of the Spirit is nowhere to be seen because you're going to make it right. No matter what. If it's the last, I love those words. If it's the last thing I do. Man. What an end goal. The last thing I do to make you experience the pain that I'm feeling right now. No peace and joy in that, guys. None. Matthew 5:7 says, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. See, when we give mercy away, guess what comes our way? Not only from God, but you know what happens when somebody's mad at you and you show them mercy and grace? Guess what? The wind's out of their sails of anger. Have you ever gotten mad at somebody and they're kind to you and you're like, yeah, you just ruined a perfectly good anger tantrum? Man, there's times where I've been come home and I've had a hard day and I'm just exhausted and I'm rude to Julie and her response is, are you okay, love? And I'm like, no. I'm ready for battle. What are you asking me if I'm okay? I'm ready to, man, let's talk it out here. Man, when we show mercy, and it's honest and it's authentic and it's not fake, but it's real out of love, out of God's love for others, it brings the response of mercy. And that's a beautiful thing. What you give, you're going to get. We've got to learn to be ministers of mercy. Guys, we will leave wakes behind us. It's like driving the speedboat. You look behind you, there's that wake behind you. You can't move forward without leaving the wake. What's the wake behind you going to look like? Is it destroyed lives? Or is it lives that have been built up and blessed? What we leave behind for our children. Is it our children who are going to say, one day I'm going to get that man or get that mom? Or is it, man, I've been blessed to have the parent I have. Guess what? No matter where you're at right now, you can start bringing transformation into that. In those broken relationships. Guys, the good news is God transforms relationships. So if you've got broken relationships with your kids, your grandkids, brothers, sisters, mom, dad, if you've got those broken relationships, go to your knees in prayer and start praying for them. Start praying for opportunities to be merciful, to be loving, to be kind. Because where those broken relationships are right now, they don't have to stay there. And that's by the grace of God. God is so merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And guess what? Those broken relationships, think of how different our lives would be if some of those relationships were healed. As Jesus died on the cross to what? To heal relationships, to bring us from death to life. And not just death to life, but wholeness. God not only forgives, he redeems. And so all that junk in our lives, he wants to use the things that were meant by the enemy to destroy us. He wants to now use those through his transforming work in our hearts. Now, We're transformed by the love of Christ, and now that wound that defined us, I'm healed. I'm no longer that wounded young man. I'm now a child of God, and I can love in ways that I couldn't before, and I'm growing in that walk, sanctification, and I'm learning how to forgive more. I'd been a Christian a long time before I forgave my dad. Sanctification, I'm learning to forgive. And you know what happens when you forgive the people around you? I had years of not being in relationship with my dad. Years of it being broken. I didn't want relationship. He didn't want it. But I wanted it, and he wanted it. But I didn't want it, and he didn't want it. But I did want it. But I didn't. You know what I'm saying? I was so angry and defined by my anger. But as salvation was working itself out, as I was growing in my walk with God, I realized I need to be merciful. I need to give away what I've received from God. I'll never forget that moment when I realized that part of the problem with my dad and I's relationship was me.
Well, change me, oh Lord.
Change me. And that became my prayer. Before I could get there, I had to say, God, change what I want, because right now I don't want you to change me in that area. So change what I'm valuing right now, because right now they're so undeserving of forgiveness in my life, I don't want it. So change what I want. And then it was change me. And God not only forgives, he redeems. Yeah. I'm not just talking with my dad. I'm talking with my dad about God. Giving my dad a Bible because he asked for it. Who knew that was possible? See, God moves in ways that are impossible to move. He transforms relationships. He's merciful to us, and he wants us to be merciful to others. And it is so freeing, guys. And I love the way it ends here. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Yeah. When the mercy washes over us, when his grace washes over us, when his love washes over us, guess what? Now we're not just left there with, okay, we're healed, but with nothing to do. Guys, we're going to spend the next 4 weeks looking at what we're going to go over on Wednesday night, which is Advent. Is God transforming us and giving us a purpose. And now it's not just, I'm okay. Now it's, I've got work to do. And it's work that God prepared in advance for me to do. Amen. It's his work. It's eternal work. It's the kind of work that's going to last for eternity. It's the kind of work that's going to heal relationships. It's the kind of work that's going to love people who were unlovable, just like me at times. Think of someone that you could have shown mercy to in this last week that you didn't, or last couple weeks. Think of a spouse or a friend or somebody at work. Somebody that you had an opportunity to show mercy to, but instead you showed vengeance, you showed anger, you showed hurt and your own brokenness, and you responded in your own brokenness rather than the wholeness of Christ. How might that change the outcome if you had done something different? If you had shown mercy instead of vengeance, instead of anger, instead of bitterness? Think of that. And then, man, go back, pray through that. Pray that God would give you an opportunity to make things right if you haven't yet done it. Remember what it says? If you've come to give to have business with God, to be at the table, to remember Him, to give thanks to Him, to give your offering, to do this, to do that. If you've come and your heart's not right with a brother, with a sister, go back, make it right. Make it right. It's not about giving things to God. It's about God transforming us. And so we get to be living sacrifices before Him. And it's a beautiful thing. Is there anybody that you need to pray to God to say, you know what, God, help me forgive them? Is there any person that you need to forgive? Any relationship that's broken? Take the steps now. Start praying right now for opportunities. Maybe you've got a relationship that's so broken, neither of you have wanted to be in each other's lives. God doesn't call you to be a doormat. Don't hear that. God doesn't want you to be a doormat to be used by other people. He wants you to be free in Him, not used in any way. And the enemy will use you if you're unforgiving towards people who have wronged you. And so when you forgive, now you have you're sent on mission by God to be merciful, to be loving, and as far as it comes from you, to reach out in relationship. I got to tell you guys, there's times where I've heard this message in one way or another. I've responded. And some of the times, you know what happened? I got slapped in the face. It wasn't received well. But my heart was right in it. Because my heart was right, it didn't become one more offense for me to hold against them. But there's been times where it was received well. As far as it is from you, forgive and become a minister of forgiveness. Get on mission from God. And that's what we're going to spend the next 4 weeks going over. God gives us purpose to be on mission, to bring blessing into the lives of the people, like God was a blessing to us in sending His Son, Christ Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just pray for each one here. Bless them, encourage them. Lord, we need your help here because we are broken. And Lord, we know that with brokenness, with hurt, with pain, comes that desire to get even. Father, forgive us for wanting vengeance rather than mercy, for desiring to be right rather than loving. Father, forgive us for our smallness of mind and spirit. Father, we choose to repent of our sin, and we want you to transform us and show us how to love those when they're harder to love, how to forgive, how to be merciful. Father, change our mindset so rather than taking offense, we see the pain of the other person who could do that to another. Give us your eyes, your ears, your heart for those around us. May we be men and women of mercy and love for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.